Very good, and welcome to the Fred Report technical market call for February 10th, 2022. Want to point out this year we've got remarkable synergies as far as the dates are concerned. We've had 2/2/22, and we're going to have 2/22/22. That is not a very common event, so everyone should sit and enjoy that, especially when we get to February 22nd. Let's get right into the call here, guys. First of all, stocks, we have resolved a bunch of the oversold. The market still looks like it could rally a little bit more. We are approaching the zone where we want to start to put on some hedges, which is the 458 to 462 area. One of my clients and friends last night called me and said, you know, if we do 457.88 and that's the high, you will have missed by 12 cents again, like you did back in 2016 for a good down move. Who knows? I think we've still got a little bit higher, perhaps into expiration, but we're getting into the area where we want to at least hedge. If you're looking to rebalance from growth into value, this whole area is right around where we would perform that procedure. We've gained back about 4% on growth versus value here from the low. And again, we're a little cautious. You know, I want to point out just a couple of things that are making me cautious rather than just say, you know, it's some weird GAN vibration or Elliott wave theory or something like that. Last week we had one of the, what they said was the best day of the year, and that occurred on 3 days of negative breadth, or best week of the year, rather. That occurred on 3 days of negative breadth and only 2 days of positive breadth. And the new highs, new lows were still negative. So this rally so far is taking place on basically negative breadth and negative new highs, new lows. And that is unusual when compared to other rallies off of 10% corrections that we've seen over the last couple of years. Now, is that enough to really wang the market here? You know, I think it may very well be, but, you know, obviously we don't know that. What we do know is that's bad technical behavior, and for most of our clients, they want to manage risk even more than they want to try to pick up, you know, the maximum possible upside here. So that's what we're saying. It's time to look a little bit more to the risk, and like I said to one client earlier, let's say we rebalance into value. Let's say we put on a little bit of hedges. Let's say we carry a little bit more cash than average. And let's say we're completely wrong about those things. Okay, and the market just takes off here, which is certainly possible. Remember, we do not know for sure what's going to happen. What we do know is that we'll have cash that we can spend on growth. Value should go up, too. We've seen that this week. Value's gone up less, but it has gone up. And, you know, it's a lot easier to put excess cash in when the market's going up than it is to take cash out in a genteel way when the market is going down. So this is the area where we want to see, you know, what happens, and we want to be a little bit more defensive. We still think there could be some real problems with earnings comparisons in the second quarter. We've seen in a couple of instances very bizarre gyrations, Facebook being one, Amazon being another, Snapchat being another, on earnings. So if earnings comparisons start to get icky, we could see perhaps a little more set of violent problems than we've looked at prior to this, and that we've seen throughout this bull market. So, you know, basically, you know, we think the rally is going to continue here a little bit. We're still looking at 458 to 462 as where we want to go. But we notice that on SPY, the daily stochastic is now overbought. It has not turned down, but it is overbought such that we could get a sell recycle, you know, in the next, you know, starting in the next, you know, few days. So take that for what it's worth. Be a little bit careful. I want to take a quick look. One of the things that I've been looking at every day is the differential between MGK, which is mega cap growth, and MGV, which is mega cap value. And today, value is winning. That's down 0.02 versus MGK, come on, which is down 0.58. That's reversing what we've seen a little bit over the last few days where growth has been leading. So if that relationship is getting ready to change back in favor of value, this is the time for anyone who wishes that they had done this rebalance in December to start to try to do it. As I say, we've gained back about 4% on that differential. Let's talk a little bit about bonds. TLT is down in the 137, 138 area. It could get to 135. We see FVX as looking like it's going to invert. And we think if the market does get gnarly here, rates will go up, but long rates will go up less. The curve will invert. And that would be one of the things that would make the market get gnarly. And we could see Treasury bonds lose much less than stocks lose, if we're correct on this. And it's certainly something that bears watching. Let's see. One thing about the yield curve inverting that we haven't really talked about, and I've got an article from Dan Suzuki at Rich Bernstein Advisors that really discusses these yield curve inversions, and I can probably get Dan's permission to send it out to our client base if people want it, just as sort of a blanket email. It's a great indicator of recession, but it's not a timing tool. We can see that inversion occur and the market still advance for a year. So it's a warning sign, but not necessarily a warning sign for problems right now. But still, all things considered, I think the market would be happier to see a curve that does not invert rather than one that does. We've had more questions on gold. We covered gold a little bit in the midweek. It's trying to get back up to that 172.50 area on GLD. The pattern on GLD is a little bit disconcerting, and I just want to point out to people this pattern, which is the drops in GLD off of resistance areas seem to be quite precipitous, and then it staggers back up to the resistance area. In other words, we came down to 167 support on GLD in 1, 2, 3 days. We're rallying back up to 172.50 in this range for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days or so. Okay. That to me connotes that there are fairly big sellers in here and they are transferring their contracts to smaller investors. They're not, in other words, there's no institutional sponsorship in this market. The accumulation model confirms that, so we are still a little bit negative on, well, still negative on gold, frankly. There's nothing little about it. We don't think it's going to work here. Silver is showing the same pattern, but silver looks a little bit better. We may look at one other aspect of the metals this week in the weekly. We may look at the gold stocks and silver stocks since we haven't really done that. Basically, we still don't think that that's going to be the inflation hedge that folks are thinking it's going to be. In terms of emerging markets, EEM has rallied off the 47 support. We've seen a little bit of a rally in China, not surprising because the indicators were very oversold and they had the Olympics, but we still don't have big buys on China. And so we would be just a little bit careful. EELV, the low volatility ETF, is trading vastly better than EEM. We would give some thought to putting a position on in that if you want to have emerging markets. And, of course, one of the things that's interesting that we may cover in the weekly, Jack can remind me, is emerging market bonds, which do not have the Chinese exposure, are trading pretty well, relative to their U.S. counterparts. So we may take a look at that as well. Other than that, we still look at our favorite sectors as being materials and staples, they are trading reasonably well in line with the whole value versus growth play. So let's, I guess that's about all of my prepared comments for today. No real changes in any of the outlooks we've expressed over the last week. Let's transfer the call over to Jeff Garbaz and see if Jeff has any questions for us. Jeff, are you in fact there?
Yep, I am. So first question is on TLT. So we hit 2% on the 10-year today. Clearly we had, as Buster Poindexter would say, a hot number. Do you think that we just blow straight through to like 250, or do you think that this is going to just stop?
You know, Jeff, I think it's probably going to slow up here. Obviously, these rates could go higher. But, you know, the other thing that's real interesting is if you look at the five-year, which is really what we're looking, which is what we're really looking at to measure the performance of these bonds, it's relatively close to the 2% area that we have been looking at, and it's having another strong day today, 1895, which is 1.895 or 1895, and we're looking for 20 on that. We think we're getting to the point where we're going to see some pause in this rate advance here. So, you know, we're still willing to use TLT for defensive purposes here. You know, obviously the best defense is a little more cash in portfolios, but for those who have to be invested, you know, that would be one area to look at for us. And, of course, SPHD and dividend plays also.
Okay. So, obviously, this is a really much it's an outlier. And it's kind of interesting because yesterday Raphael Bostic, who lives in your town, who's the Atlanta Fed president, came out and said, oh, inflation's peaking, it's rolling over. Probably one of the worst calls I've ever heard by him because he's just dead wrong. What would happen to stocks if, before we get to the FOMC meeting, they just drop the bomb and just do 50 basis points right now? Because it seems like they're kind of desperate. What do you think would happen to stocks if that occurred?
You know, Jeff, I think that that would probably hurt stocks, but maybe not as badly as people think. And the only reason I mention that is I think that's starting to get discounted in, okay? And I think stocks still have a little bit more to go, so I'm not so sure they're going to do that. Maybe they'll do that next week, but I still think IWM, for example, can get to 210, 211.
Yeah, it got back above. If you do a retracement, you can't do a daily chart with a retracement. You have to use a weekly. So I used a retracement from 9/21 of 2020 all the way up to the November high. And the first breaking point was the 38.2, and that was at 204.95. And we got through it yesterday, and we're still through it today. So if we failed it, and we failed it 200, and we don't get to your 210 number, which isn't that far away now, and we break 200. Where do you think we go a bunch lower?
Yeah, I think we can go to 170 on that.
Okay, so here comes the other kind of thought process. You look at kind of like Elliott wave type of stuff, ABC formations. I would argue we've made the A wave down to the absolute low, the B wave back up, which we've been in, and we'll see what happens today. I think today was a lot of short covering. Really quickly, we just got the latest short numbers, and it went up very highly on NASDAQ, where the biggest betting is. Seems to me like it's kind of run for us, run time for technology stocks until all this stuff settles down, because they're going to get penalized because, you know, they're high growth companies, and a lot of them don't have earnings, et cetera. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that there's still some good risks there. And again, I want to emphasize, because of the overextended nature of some of the big tech names, they could have substantial retracements and still be in uptrends. We talked about that on every call. And, you know, I'm a long-term – I will freely admit – I'm a long-term holder of Apple. There's no doubt about that. Anyone on the call should know that I'm a long-term holder of Apple. And as part of being a long-term holder of Apple, I'm willing to let it go to 110 from here, down 60 points. Okay. That can be a lot for clients to stomach, especially when they say, my God, my Microsoft has fallen 80 points, and you say, no biggie, it's just a normal retracement, right? They feel like it's a biggie, okay? And what I've wanted to do over the last month or so is prepare people for those sorts of movements, if we have them, so that it's not a surprise. And so I think tech is more vulnerable, say, easily more vulnerable than stocks like Clorox and Colgate and that haven't run as much.
Right. So would you still stay high? So here comes the real question. If you look at a monthly stochastic chart on the Qs, on SPY, and on XLK, they're just starting to break through the upper bands to the downside.
Yeah.
So, and we haven't had, you know, like a considerable move all the way down to a lower level since 2020. Now, then again, we did it in 2018 in the fourth quarter, but when we look back, there have been periods where we didn't go below it. Like, example, we didn't go back below that 30 level on the monthly stochastic on XLK from 2009 until that 2018 period. 9 years. I mean, we came down into mid-range, like 50, like two or three times, but could we just be in one of those prolonged periods where we don't do that again?
Yeah, but we could certainly see this, the monthly stochastic pull down to 50, and that would create some downside. And again, everyone knows this, but I'm going to mention it again. Obviously, monthly, signals update at the end of every month. So 3 or 4 months of difficulty could easily cause that.
Right.
And that's really what we're looking for. We do not think that the bull market in stocks is over. We do not think that. But we do think that this, if this works out the way we're expecting, this could be the most severe correction since 2020.
Right.
And, of course, we'll see, in, 6 or 7 months if I'm right, and then we'll have 2020 hindsight.
Right. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Let me think what else I want to ask you about. Emerging market, are you getting more positive about it, or what's your thinking?
Well, I'm still nervous about China, but Jeff, take a look at EELV, the low volatility formulation, which has less China than anything else. That's where I would be right now. That is trading like a champ. Emerging markets, and again, Jeff, what I'm concerned about is after the Olympics are over and China, sort of has gone through that boost due to the Olympics, that market could turn over again and start to come down.
Okay.
What I'm looking at, Jeff, and again, we have to look at the technical indicators. GXC has had a pattern of lower highs and lower lows since basically May, June of last year. We just got a stochastic recycle in February. It's now overbought again, and it's making yet another lower high on this overbought after having made a lower low. So this is behaving in accordance with the way the stochastics are supposed to work. The question is, if we get a sell recycle at this lower level, what happens? And the way it's been trading, frankly, suggests that it may not be very good when it happens.
I'm just looking at something. 460 seems like to be a very hard level for SPY to get through, because there is a lot of resistance in October, November, December, a couple times back and forth. January, we broke it. Do you agree that that's going to be a hard number to potentially get above?
Yeah, and that's why that would be right in the middle of our 458 to 462 area. And that would be, again, if you're going to, transition portfolios into a little bit more of a defensive nature, that would be an ideal place to do it. We've had some snapback. We didn't sell tech and everything on the low. We've had a nice move up in growth, but now is the time to get a little tiny bit more defensive. And again, Jeff, you know, calling for big corrections in this market over the last, you know, really since 2016 has been a very difficult thing to do. Okay, a lot of people have tried to do that and have been wrong. I at least have not tried to do it that often, but I'm trying to do it now, and I could be wrong too. And again, I'll point out, and most of us on the call agree, you know, in terms of the way they manage their businesses, you know, it's a lot easier to put money in than it is to take money out. So this is where to do it, basically. And we'll see how that goes. Jeff, any other questions? Otherwise, let's open for questions.
One last question. With today's inflation number, gold is working okay, but as you've kind of identified, 172 is like a bigger level to get through if we're going to have more of a move. How do you think about the move today vis-a-vis the inflation data that we got? And recognize we're going to get more inflation data next week, too.
Yeah, I just don't think gold is trading at all well, mostly because the ease of movement seems to be on the downside. In other words, when this goes down, it craters. When it goes up, it staggers up, right? Which is not to say that it can't go up more. But what it does also say is when those stochastics get in to sell mode, the drop is much more precipitous, so we would be watching that a little more carefully. You know, we have Newmont, which is probably one of the better gold stocks, in our sector review as a favorable holding. I felt we had to have a gold. It has not made us any money, but if gold really starts to go, Newmont will do well. So we're kind of hedged in there. But all of the models that we keep on accumulation and such are saying that gold is really not the place to be.
Okay. Cool. Well, that's it for me. I don't know anything else.
Okay. Questions from the field. Remember to unmute yourself.
Fred, yes, this is Nancy.
Yes, Nancy.
How are you?
Well, how
can
are you?
Do,
Florida treating you okay?
Florida's great, man.
Yeah.
Can you compare RYT to PSCT?
RYT, which is equal way tech.
Tech.
Yeah, that's trading reasonably well to PSCT. Small cap tech, yeah.
Right, exactly.
That is trading very slightly better, and the reason may be that it doesn't have the risk of the big techs and substantial retracements to it.
So if you were going to hold one, which
I'd hold the small cap, actually, which is a little bit scary to do, and but I would do that.
Okay, and how about, can you look at DE, dear?
Yes. That is still, I think, trading extremely well, and fortunately, it's a stock that we've been recommending. So that to me is a place to hide and something that should do well. You know, as the market corrects, it should outperform.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, and you know, again, I'm going to just point out, let's take a look at United Healthcare, which is one of my favorite defensive plays in bad markets in tech because of what happened in 2000. The 2002, that is within a very little bit of its all-time high, right? Back in 2002, you know, if someone was talking to you about a bear market and you were in United Healthcare, you're would be forgiven for saying, what bear market, right? You know, in this kind of environment where it's not a bear market and not everything is going to go down, there's certainly names that are going to go up. Deere, United Healthcare, you know, some of the other stronger, you know, names and materials and staples should do quite well. Look at Coca-Cola. Coca's is at new highs and up today on bad earnings. I think it's up. Let me take a look. So, I mean, there are places to hide here Yeah. Good question. Thank you, Nancy. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, how are you?
Well.
Okay, a couple. How about Boeing as a value play? How's that looking there?
You know, I keep thinking Boeing is going to do well, and it is looking okay. But as far as being a leader is concerned, I'm just not wild about it, but it should still hold up better on the downside. And if it can get through 250, that would be very, very nice. But, it's one of the few Dow type stocks that has not made it really through the 2020 highs.
How about Tupperware, TUP?
UP. And of course, if I can type better, life would be good. That's another one. Again, it's held 14 area support. You should, and it's on a weekly buy signal. That's certainly one that you could try.
All right. And XBI, what do you think? Back to 106 or 108 on this move, or is it petering out
I
here?
would like to see it do that, and again, I will admit to being confounded by biotech. It keeps doing less well than I think it would. There were a couple of symbols in the chart book that were biotech symbols that are trading better than XBI or IBB, and please forgive me, I don't remember what they were, but people have the chart book. They can look at it and find those symbols. I want to buy friggin' biotech. It just doesn't seem to be working every time I do it. But, that's certainly happened to me before.
And then what would the IWM or the SPY have to get through on this move for you to say, all right, maybe this correction may not be as bad as we thought or whatever?
If I could see, and really, that's not, there is no number that would do it for me. It would have to be the Brett statistics. I mean, through 210, 211 on IWM would be very, very, would be a big positive. But if we keep seeing negative Brett statistics, this is not particularly good, what's going on. And especially, we don't talk about the ARMS index or the trend. Often. I've mentioned it a couple of times in letters over the last few years. The ARMS index data on the NASDAQ is still extremely overbought, even with the 9.5% decline. Right? We need to see breadth data get better. And maybe we will. I look at it every week with the idea that I think it has to be getting better. And sadly, it's just not. So, that's really my concern is that breadth data.
And you don't have to worry about your call being wrong. It's already right. We've already experienced the worst correction since since COVID. I mean, NASDAQ was down almost 20, IWM 20, SPY was down 12.5. So
Yeah,
you got it right.
but I just want everyone, to think about this for a minute. Normal rallies have certain characteristics, okay? And the rallies that we've seen for most of the period from 2016 to now have had those characteristics, which is not surprising because that's what you get. I mean, it's like saying you take a ruler and you measure something that's a foot long, and the ruler agrees with it being a foot long, right? Say you're measuring your hot dog. We go to Nathan's, we get a hot dog, we say, wow, that's a foot long. I'm going to whip out my ruler, and it is a foot long, okay? Rallies where you go up on negative breadth and negative new highs, new lows, end badly in 80% of situations, right? And that's what we've been having. Now, like a lot of condition indicators, sometimes those conditions just go away, right? And that's why we look at the data every week and say, golly, is this situation going away, right? I thought for sure last week that we would see good weekly breadth numbers and positive new highs, new lows. I was really surprised to see 100 new lows, 100 new highs and 400 new lows last week on what they say was the best week of the year. But it's still a concern. And the great news is, and I'll stop pontificating and get to questions here in 1 second. You know, if we're defensive now because we're seeing those numbers and those numbers really start to go away, we can start to take more aggressive stances. Right. But, you know, what I'm saying is, again, if the market goes down 10% and then we want to sell. Right. Ouch. Right. Rather say market's up 3 or 4% and we're in, but we've only captured half of that. And we've got money to spend if we decide we want to change our minds.
Right.
Sorry to interrupt. Any other questions from you or?
No, thank you.
Good. And thank you very much for your questions. They're always helpful. Other questions? Other questions?
Hey, Fred, this is Mike.
Mike.
Birmingham.
Yes.
Hey, what about MLPs? Do you think they are still have room to run, or do you see them slowing, or just what are your thoughts?
You know, I think they still have more room to run. I think if oil pulls back on a Russian invasion or for seasonal reasons, MLPs will pull back much less, and I still think energy can be strong into the summer. Remember, we did our work on those futures contracts and showed there were more contracts for sale out in June. So I would not be concerned about MLPs here, Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Fred.
Got
Scott.
Scott, how's life treating you?
Living the dream. Thank you.
You Floridians, you're always living the dream.
A little chilly today. Question for you, talking hedges and, you know, what's working. Obviously, energy has helped bail me out or bail some of my growth stuff out. But commodities also. And, you know, I wonder if you could speak to this. Apparently, backwardation, which is obviously a scarcity thing, is at the most highs since 97, and that's grains, metals, energy,
yeah,
etc. And, you know, some smart people talking about a super cycle in commodities, and frankly, a lot of people don't even consider it, you know, an asset class, let alone having a slug of it in one's portfolio. So one symbol I wonder if you'd take a look at, First Trust, FTGC did pay out a huge dividend in December, so it's actually broken out big time.
Yeah. This is trading really nicely, and I've got a way on stockcharts.com to eliminate the effect of those dividends. So this is a very nice breakout. I would stay with it. I'd also point out something that we were actually correct on and haven't gloated about it yet. And that is when those December contracts came off the board in soybeans, take a look at what's happened to SOYB, which is what we were predicting. It's up 3 points from when those contracts, 3-4 points from when those contracts came off. You're seeing what looks to me to be an advance in the grains and these other commodities into the July time period, which means they've got plenty of room to go, especially if equities in general have trouble into June, which is what our concern has been.
Okay, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
And another question is, do you have any fears or thoughts about any kind of credit deterioration, you know, ultimately, potentially, I'm not looking for it, but, you know, some sort of liquidity event with all the quantitative tightening?
Well, you know, Scott, I will have to confess that I am not a really good person to ask about that, okay, because I don't follow those markets. Jeff talks to someone that we both know named Rob Ross, who is sagacious in that area, and Jeff may want to address that. but what I will say is these dramatic moves on earnings are a testament to me to liquidity going away. I mean, Facebook is a pretty big blue chip stock. Would everyone agree on that? Is there anyone on the call that would say Facebook is not a big liquid name that a lot of institutions and people are buying and trading. It is, right? Okay. Well, down 27% in one day, that doesn't imply a real liquid market there, okay? So I think you're seeing more illiquidity in the market than people are letting on. Whether there will be a credit event, you know, I don't know. Rich Bernstein, who Scott has followed and I have followed through our time at Merrill Lynch, and who's a buddy and I think a smart guy, has always said that these tightenings end with some sort of liquidity event. I've never tracked that. That's not a concern to me, but it certainly could be.
Something to keep an eye on. And what if you take a peek at one bank, which is doing great today on earnings, Signature, SBNY?
Signature Bank. Yeah, that's up nicely. I'd stay with that. I'd look for possible tests at 375. My favorite of the weird little regional banks, Fifth Third, FITB, is up nicely and close to making new highs. So I'm happy with that. The one thing I would say, if I were a Merrill advisor, Bank of America has hit 50 again. If you want to move some of your 401k that you have in Bank of America out and into a broad-based fund or into cash, this is the exact price at which I would do that.
Okay.
You couldn't have a better shot right now.
And how about RJF upgraded today to A-?
Yeah, you know, I've always liked that stock. That's my favorite brokerage stock, and I think it's a great little company. So, yeah, that's one, again, I think you want to own. It's certainly trading better than some of the other stocks in that area. And it has
Thanks
for a while.
Thanks, Fred.
Sure. Other questions?
Hey, Fred.
Hello.
Hey, Fred, this is David. A couple stocks for you. XPO?
X-Ray Paul Oscar?
Yes.
XPO Logistics, yeah. It certainly looks like it should have a little bit more upside in it, possibly to 73.74. Any break of 67 would be, or even 68 would be very worrisome.
Okay, but you think, 75, you know, there's a cap on it, sounds like.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful downtrend and has been for a long time.
Right. Then what about GXO then? Because this stock divided into these two stocks.
G is in George, X-Ray Oscar.
Right.
Another logistics company. This one looks a little tiny bit better and looks like it could get to 90, 91, and then I'd look at it again.
Okay. How about Joby, J-O-B-Y? This is like a SPAC that we seem to like, Morgan Stanley.
Huh. Morgan Stanley's actually recommending this.
Yeah.
You're right at resistance here. Through here would target 620.
Okay. What about MUFG?
This has been a great bank stock that we've liked the looks of for a while, and I think you can certainly stay in this. Let's take a look, because again, Japan is one of my long-term markets. Let's say this goes to 8.
Okay, like it. This stock, Robert Echo Frank Indigo, this is, just to kind of give you the flavor of this, this is another stock like PW, which is a really small what is that other one that you liked? IIPR, which IIPR, well, I guess start with IIPR. Let's start there.
Well, I've got this one up. Basically, if this can break down through actually 1830, which is right here, 1880, which is right here, 1830 and through that would target 16.
Okay, so let me phrase it a different way. If I want to get into this stock, but it's been really tough, it's another of
it's
these.
Thin.
I don't want to chase it, but I would like to get into it. We're pretty thinly traded. What's the thought there?
Buy it right now, immediately, today.
Oh.
With limit orders.
Oh, okay. So
yeah, you,
wait,
below
does that mean that you
two
think
more
it's
cents
coming
down and
you
you're doomed,
it's...
but this is where to do it.
Okay.
And maybe some at 18:30 if it can fall there.
Right. So kind of like buy it here and buy more if it does break.
If it does break, yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a decent strategy. And
yeah,
IIPR,
and, you know,
what do you
I can't. IIPR, I'm not playing. You know, it's my favorite pot stock, but I don't like pot stocks. Let's say we can get this to 160. And if by some miracle you get this to 220, 225. I would be very, very comfortable shorting it. You know, I had real hopes that they were going to legalize marijuana in a Biden presidency. I frankly don't smoke marijuana. I've never had – I'm actually allergic to it the times I've tried it. And I did inhale, unlike Bill Clinton. But – you know, I think it should be legal. I think that criminalizing something like this is insane unless you drive when you're really, you know, same thing as alcohol. But look at MJ, right? This is trading very badly. Look at YOLO, which is MJ's got some tobacco in it. YOLO has no tobacco, but they're still the same basic pattern. These pot stocks just aren't working. They're saying that this Congress is not going to legalize it. And I would venture to say, and I mean, I'm not an expert in this, but if the Republicans take either the House or the Senate, the chance of legalization goes way, way down federally.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I just always thought of IIPR as like practically like the anti-pot stock, because if they were to legalize it, I don't think that would be good for IIPR, because then the banks could, you know, ultimately down the road finance all the stuff that IIPR is financing, you know, and IIPR was always able to do great when the pot stocks, you know, were sucking wind type of thing. So I always kind of looked at these as a little bit different, if you will.
I think, I'm not up on the fundamentals of this, but we'll just have to see for another day.
Fair enough. One last one. What about PATH? PATH.
Again, you know, what I would say is this should rally perhaps to 40, 42, but if the market does start another correction here, be very careful of these new issue type stocks that have made two new lows. These could get blasted. I've seen it in, you know, for anyone who's been around for a while, you know, watching these new issues try to find support where there isn't any can be extraordinarily depressing.
Okay, thank you.
Got it. Yeah, and I'm going to just take a quick look. For those of you who are negative on Peloton, it's hit its first objective on the upside. Be very careful in here. This may not go much more than 38, 39.
Hey, Brett, Jeff, I got a couple tech questions from
sure,
our
Jeff.
Buddy.
Got it.
EXPE.
EXPE. Expedia. Jeff, that's a tech that's trading extremely well. I would stay with that. And by the way, my computer is saying that this is discretionary and not tech.
Okay, well, it's a tech company because they do everything off the internet, so it gets
right
thrown in that category. BKNG, same stock category. Booking,
travel
BKNG.
Stocks look like they're doing a lot better. Look at our American Express, which we've had in the chart book for a while. All of these are doing better. BKNG, if it can get through 2,700, it's certainly, this is a tech name that I would hold if I were a tech fund, for example.
Airbnb.
Right at resistance, Jeff, if this starts to fall back below 165, you should consider sale. It might make it to 151.
Okay, Lyft, L-Y-F-T.
$47, and then we have to watch it closely.
Okay, Uber, B-E-R.
It's right at the equivalent of 47 at 42. If it can get through here, you might get 46 on it. If you're thinking about selling it, this would be the place to do that.
Okay, what about MAR? He didn't ask about it, but
yeah, Jeff,
curious.
We have this in the sector review. It's up and at new, you know, relative highs. I think this is going to keep going. There's some news on Marriott, by the way, that's going to impact their earnings. It's kind of esoteric, but I'm going to tell you what the news is. They are talking about dynamic pricing on points for Marriott Rewards members. I'm a Marriott Rewards Lifetime Titanium. There's only, I think, 4,000 of us in the world, and I know 10 of them. And if they do that, it means that the points are essentially devalued on some hotels, and that's going to be big for earnings because they usually would tend to pick the summer resorts and stuff like that. So, and by the way, if you're a Marriott Rewards member and are looking to book some travel, you can lock in your rates till the end, before the end of March, at today's current rates on things. But I like this stock, Jeff. I think this is 185 or so.
Yeah. So what if today completely fails and we go back and we get negative on tech? Does that make you more negative?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen, just not today, in the next week or so. But, you know, the stocks that would look like they're going to go up, like Marriott, should still outperform in a down market.
Yeah.
And again, you know, Jeff, unlike real bear markets where pretty much everything goes down the tubes, in this kind of a correction, not everything will go down the tubes. Enough will go down the tubes that you're probably going to be hurt. But, you know, as far as everything going down the tubes, I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Okay. Hey, so to your point earlier, you were talking about Trend, which was developed by Dick Arms. Our stuff right now, it's kind of interesting, our stuff being Erlanger, the score is 0.89. It's not even really extreme. Yet, I mean, you're probably very familiar with how Dick Arms does his little equivolume charts, right?
Yes.
So if I compare January versus, let's call it February of 2020, it's a much wider range, and it's basically pretty damn equal on thickness, which means that it was the same type of volume. And if you go back historically and you look at other periods, it typically takes several months. 20 was kind of the exception. 18 was, and it took like 3 months after that fourth quarter to kind of get through stuff. 15, same thing, 11, et cetera. So does that make you feel better about this idea that this may not resolve itself until the second quarter?
Yeah, it does. You know, we'll just have to see. And again, you know, Jeff, if we can really get pounded into the end of March, that would correct the quarterly indicators enough, possibly. We just have to see that. And again, we've mentioned, but we'll mention again, you know, if you're off by one bar looking at a daily chart, that means that instead of it happening today, it's going to happen tomorrow. If we're off by one bar on the quarterly chart, it means it's going to happen in June instead of March, or even September instead of June, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, who knows, you know, as Pinocchio would say. Sorry,
okay.
I had to say that. That was terrible.
Okay, so one thing that's interesting, one thing I just wanted to look at, because shorts really did add to stuff a lot, we now have a situation where we're being driven by smart short sellers in semiconductors of the three sectors in tech, the other two being software and then computers and equipment. So how does the chart of SMH look to you?
Let me take a quick look and see. All right, that was Doggy Playdate, which I've got to send Jody on. SMH is on the daily chart right at the resistance area that we thought it would get to for a minimum rally, which is roughly 287 to 288 to 290,
okay,
somewhere in there. So if this were to turn over, what would tell me that we're going to see very little more rally would be a move below 278.
What about a break at 250? I'm looking at that on the monthly, and it's like, oh, my God, if it breaks that, it could really have a pretty big fall. Agree?
Yeah, and Jeff, that's what I think the risk is, and that would be, again, the sort of correction we're looking at, which is tech falls more and leads the market down to a much greater correction. And thanks to, I forget who said of my call is already successful, but I still think there's more, and that would do it, essentially, and tech would be correcting more than everyone else. Now, for those of you who follow Rich Bernstein, by the way, Rich is saying tech can fall 50%. I'm not so sure about that. Some of the names might that are way overextended. Some are obviously down. But that would set up the sort of buy we're looking for at the end of June if that were to happen.
Okay. I think Jack said there's a couple more people on, so I'll go back to mute.
Let's have those people, and then we can perform the various functions that we normally do on Thursday morning, i.e. chiropractic adjustment. Yes, sir.
Fred, it's John.
John, how are you?
Good, good. I got a couple tech names now that you've mentioned were probably on the way down. But I wanted to first say something about TLT. Once
sure.
You said it was trading in a range between 140 and 150, and in one of my notes from a few weeks back, it looks like it's broken the 140.
It's broken the 140, so it should head immediately to 135.
Okay, and then you see some support there at 135.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're out of the range now. The one. So what?
Well, there's
a
135 to 155 range. Really 130 to 155, 160 range. And then there's
okay.
the minor range from 140 to 150. It's down from there.
Okay. And how much concern should we have that it's going zooming past 135 here? Or
I don't have a lot. And John, this is the anomaly. This is the anomaly, okay? And we've all seen, and you've seen since we've been on the call together, at least since February, March of 2020, right? You remember those calls, right? Back then, we were talking about how the SPY and the Qs should make new highs because on that decline, our accumulation models were making new highs. And you remember that, right? And that did work. I mean, that was a bizarre call, honestly, to make, you know, in March of 2020 saying, relax, the S&P is going to make all-time highs, right? That was a bizarre call to make. You'd give me that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what the accumulation models are saying is you sell every stock you own, everything, small,
okay.
large, the Qs, and put all the money into TLT. That's what the accumulation models are saying.
Okay. All right.
Right. Now, I don't believe that that is correct. Okay. What, and that's certainly the most extreme interpretation of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But what it is saying is stocks can fall more than treasuries. And treasuries mm-hmm. may actually advance if stocks really start to collapse. Right? The accumulation
gotcha.
Model on the Qs is dramatically negative, just as it was on the spider in 2020.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I have to think because of that, and John, by the way, a little history for people. John has been emailing me offline saying, we need to talk about TLT. Why on earth would anyone buy it when rates are going up? And my answer to that is because the accumulation model says that it should fall less than stocks, even if it falls. And the other question is this, John, and of course no one knows the answer to this, okay? But let's say the market starts to do very badly because the Fed raises rates more quickly than anyone expects, something which Jeff Garbaz alluded to earlier. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And the Fed is looking at the midterms and looking at the market down 20% from here, and saying we got to ease off on the easing, on the tightening here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And TLT pops back up, right? That could certainly
right.
happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say we do get some sort of geopolitical event, and there's a couple out there that could do something, and money comes into U.S. government bonds, right? That could cause
right.
TLT to go up. The problem with the accumulation models is you don't know what's going to cause the accumulation model to be correct, and furthermore, the accumulation models are not a timing tool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the reason I'm still interested in TLT and playing these ranges is if the market does obey its accumulation models and go down more than anyone expects right now, TLT should do much better and it'll be a decent place to hide.
Okay.
I think
okay.
value stocks, mm-hmm. too, and dividend stocks, I keep, and again, it takes a half an hour to do each accumulation model, so I don't
mm-hmm.
keep them on everything, but the accumulation model on DVY, which is one of the big dividend funds, is way outperforming SPYs right now,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And now I only
right.
keep it on that, and I don't even recommend that ETF, but that says to me that dividend stuff, particularly the good stuff like I think SPHD is, should do well, and I'm looking at it, sure enough, it's up 1.29 today. Oh, sorry, that's on the week.
Okay.
So
week. Okay.
That's my answer on TLT, and I'm glad you asked the question. I was going to call you up and talk to you about it. But, yeah, everything could lose money here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, except cash.
Okay, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
Except
okay.
cash.
Okay, great. And I bought a couple stocks, thinking that I was trying to catch a falling knife. So TS, Thomas Sam Victory Thomas, TSVT.
270 Bio Inc.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. You know, that's had a nice little rally. Your concern now is that if it doesn't get much above 17, it could die here. If it does, you've probably got a shot to 19, and then I'd be a little careful.
Oh, okay. Okay. How about NTRA, Nancy Thomas Robert Alpha?
That should try to go up a little bit more. I'd watch it very carefully at 75, 76.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's it. Yeah. Thanks so much, Fred. That's great.
Cool. And thank you for, you know, and especially for your criticism. Lord knows if I'm doing a good job, I'll be right 70% of the time and wrong 30. And that means I could very easily be wrong on some of these forecasts that we've got going on here.
Oh, and it's not at all a criticism. It's just an observation.
No, it's an observation.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can be as full of malarkey. I love that word, malarkey. In fact, there's a plumbing company here called Mr. Sparky, and their ad on TV or on the radio is, "We don't take a lot of malarkey. Please call Mr. Sparky," or something like that. I just... You know, to use the word malarkey in an ad, I mean, I'm sure a lot of millennials are going, what the hell does malarkey mean? But but they're renters, not homeowners. I think the message is we got to be a little careful in here. And sorry, John. Other questions? I know there's one more guy Jack said.
Well, Fred, I'm in Minneapolis. How you doing?
Good.
What do you
good.
Think of MDT?
MDT. Medtronic. You know, it's making a base here. Your real problem is below 104, you've got to 102.50, and below that, it's new lows. But it's certainly, if you wanted to stay with that a little bit longer, it's not overbought on the daily stochastic. The thing on this is, if it doesn't get above 110 on that daily stochastic buy that we're on, you've still got a downtrend, and you should be quite careful.
Okay, how about Apple?
I love the stock. I don't think it's going to go much below 110, even in a super severe correction.
And Tesla, TSLA.
TSLA. And remember, Apple does 50% retracements in negative moves on Apple and then comes right back. Tesla, I still think it's basically an 800 to 850 to 1100 range. It's right in the middle. 900 is a lot of support. This is one that I could stay with.
And I'm kind of with John in the TLT. Would you put a stop at 136 if you bought it at 142 and now it's 136? Would you get the heck out of it and just go to cash?
I'd get the hell out of it right away.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You don't want to take a big loss on that, and we'll see what happens. But if it's hitting your risk parameters, get rid of it immediately.
Thank you.
And that's a message, by the way. Anything in this market that's hitting your risk parameters, you need to obey it and sell.
But on the other hand, you wouldn't buy IWM right now.
If trading it to 210 is enough for you and it starts to falter at 210, 211, or say at 210, I would raise your stop on IWM to break even.
But you wouldn't buy it now if you didn't own it.
Yeah, I could buy it right now and see if it went through.
Okay,
but if
thanks.
It doesn't, I'd raise the stop to break even because your risk is, you know, there's certainly one way to look at this is your upside is 3 points and your downside is 40.
Okay.
But if you want to try it, you're probably not going to have this jump over your stop and hand you a big loss. Right?
Right.
And the other thing to mention is if you look at DWAS, it's actually trading much better than IWM. It is the higher relative strength small cap names. That if you want to buy small cap, that might be the way to do it.
You think the oils are sales like XLE and XOM and CVX, sell them?
Right now, no. But again, I think they're going to be one of the strongest sectors going into the summer. But could they pull back if we get a seasonal drop in oil and if the market really has trouble? Yes, absolutely. But I wouldn't sell them.
Hey Fred.
Frank,
this is Joel. All right, so a few months ago, or a couple of months ago, you were talking about the underperformance of small caps, and you said that you think that it's a sign that the economy is just not growing the way everybody thinks it is. And yesterday, I read an article with this guy who was talking about that we had the biggest year-over-year drop in retail sales for the Christmas period we've seen since 2008. That is mind-blowing to me. And he also said that the Fed raising interest rates to slow down the economy is actually because they think the fast-growing economy is driving the inflation, when in fact it's actually supply constraints. And
I think that's
he also
a good
said
point.
That, yeah, he also said that he thinks the real inflation rate's actually closer to 14%. It's just the way that they rejigger the numbers or what have you.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's my question. When you're looking at the TLT and you're saying that it's showing a really good accumulation model, however you do that, can you look at TIP, T-I-P, and tell me what you think of that?
I don't run an accumulation model on TIP, but TIP is saying that they're going to do something about inflation. And let's mention one thing, and if Jeff wants to come back in on this, he can. The Fed has certain mandates, right, in their mission statement, in their charter. And number one is to fight inflation through what they call price stability. In other words, the real big job of the Fed is not to help the economy. It's to fight inflation. Now, there are all sorts of economists that will tell you that the economy does exceedingly well when inflation is under control and moderate. Okay? So in that sense, the Fed is helping the economy by fighting inflation, right? But the actual mandate is to fight inflation and not help the economy. Now, if we've got a 7.5%, and again, we're just going to throw some numbers out here, and maybe I am full of crap, to put it mildly. Let's say inflation is at 7%. We all know that to really fight inflation, you got to get short rates above inflation. That would imply that the five-year currently at 18 goes to 80. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, obviously, right? Although it's a great chart, and if you look at the chart of FVX and you think to yourself, if this were a stock, would I buy it? The answer is, yes, I would. It's a beautiful breakout and a wonderful pattern, and it looks like it's going to go higher. What's probably going to happen if you take a look at the long, long-term chart of FVX is that inflation is going to fall and FVX is going to rise, and somewhere in that 3% area, the 3.5% area, FVX will stall and inflation will be right around 3 to 3.5%, which is the target that they've mentioned for the next 2 years. Okay? If you see, and when you look at TYX, which is the 30-year, which is what they have the least control over, if that were to happen on TYX, you could see TYX in the 5% area on the 30-year. That would put us back to where we were in 2010. Right? So those sorts of movements are not out of the question. But what that means is the curve will invert. You will see recessionary functionality being forecast and, you know, problems pretty much that the Fed will stop raising. Right? And that's where we're
gotcha.
Looking. And, you know, if you, and remember, TLT is a combination of TYX and TNX. FVX is not in there. Right? So what I think you're going to see as we trade around here is the five-year goes up much more than the combination of the 10 and 20, which means that TLT will probably start to hold up in here near the bottom of that 134, 135 range. And if we really see that, I'm not so sure the market's going to do well.
Okay. So you would definitely not buy TIP, you would go with TLT.
Yeah, I just, you know, TIP trades a lot on inflationary expectations, right? And we saw that on the big run-up that we've seen in TIP, right? Inflationary expectations are starting to moderate, right? In other words, and by that I mean there are people saying, okay, the Fed has finally said inflation is too high and we're going to control it. And the Fed has always won when it's done that. right?
It's just usually thrown us into a recession when they do it.
But exactly. And you look at, you know, back in 1980 when Volcker said, I'm going to raise short-term rates to 21%, right, to fight inflation. Well, it did work, right?
Right.
You know, it wasn't pleasant from 80 to 82. But it did work. So the question really is how far they're going to go and how far they're going to want to have inflation run. And the last thing I would mention here about that, and then we'll take another question or two, is, you know, do they have the moxie to really kill inflation here, even if it means killing the market and the economy? I don't think they do. I think times are different from when Reagan came in. And remember, when Reagan came in, he was in the first year of his term when he did that. And correctly, he said, I'm going to get it out of the way early.
Okay.
So that's what I think is going on with these with rates here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sure. Joel, it's always a pleasure. Other questions?
Hey, Fred, it's Barrett. How are
yes,
you?
Yes, Barrett. Good.
Quick question on inflation. TIPS and GLD are both trading, I don't know, in my opinion, that there's a cap on those two areas, and
yep,
those are measures of long-term inflation fights. At least the retail thinks about that first. When they buy, they want to buy TIP and they want to buy GLD.
Right.
Isn't it saying that we're not, that the Fed's going to take care of this inflation fight, at least for now?
It's certainly saying that the market thinks so, yeah.
So,
and again, it defined take care of, Barrett.
What's the hardest thing people can buy right now? The hardest thing to sell right now or get people, if they're not discretion, is buying TLT?
Yeah.
Or just going to cash? Because everybody wants to buy stock right here.
Right.
Everybody's thinking that their NASDAQ stocks are going to rally another 20% off the bottom.
Yeah. And, you know, what we'll have to see how that works, but it may not work well this time. It may, you know, we may see a leadership change even after the market is through correcting.
I want to ask you something about puts, second on the S&P. You
sure
mentioned that in the midpoint. Would you do like 400, like June's, or would you do like 375?
You know, I'd look at the premiums, but 400s would be a good try. To me,
like
the whole – yeah, go ahead. 375s would probably work. You might get to 375. But I think 400s are a better bet if the premiums are there.
Yeah, the premiums are only $8 or $9, $10 a contract.
Yeah, see, I'd want to pay less than that. But again, Barrett, one of the strategies here, there's, you know, the problem with options, everyone knows, is that 90% of them expire worthless.
Right.
Right? And you've got premiums that are high enough that if you can time it right and use some March puts to pay for June puts, or at least pay
yeah
a chunk of that, you can end up with a hedge, which is what we're trying to do. And of course, there is no perfect hedge.
Well, I guess the thing is in a taxable account, it's much better to take a, you know, $10,000, $12,000, $20,000 loss on those puts than it is to sell everything here and take a, you know, a huge
and that's
tax
exactly
bill.
Right. Yeah,
not
we can't
right
do that. Yeah, our clients wouldn't want us to do that, and they'd
and then
be
the
right
market rallies off it, you know.
Yeah.
So you can't do that. So also, but would you do SPY or would you do QQQ on those puts?
You know, I would probably do QQQ. I talk about SPY just because it's easier to talk about just the one, but I'd probably do the Qs.
Where would you look at QQQ then at that, 300 for June?
Yeah, I would say 300 for June would be a good try, and maybe buy some 350s for March if they really are taking gas here.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Got it.
Hey, Fred, this is Mark.
Mark.
Yeah, hey. Got a few questions for you. First one is, there was some in Zero Hedge the other day about that buybacks had just started back and had a lot to do with some of the volume and bounce on this. Do you have any thoughts around that?
I don't. Sorry, I don't study
okay
buybacks.
Okay. All right. Other questions were on going back to commodities a little bit. If we look at Alcoa and Nucor, especially, that run up significantly in a really short period of time. I think you were saying you still like the commodities, right? But
yeah,
would you wait for pullbacks on those guys?
Probably not.
Okay.
You know, and again, I think that those could pull back much less than tech.
Okay. Then just a couple of other stock questions. Salesforce CRM, and it was strong, you know, for years, regardless of everything, and finally gave it up, and they're down from 310 to 220 or so.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that? Much worse to go. Good to accumulate here.
I don't have intermediate term buy signals on Salesforce.
Okay.
And I think it could have worse to go.
Okay.
You're right on
and
the
then,
board here, but as long as you're willing to let it fall to 160, you can buy it.
Gotcha. Okay. And then similar but different charts, ServiceNow had been strong, and still a lot stronger than some of the tech.
And what?
That's NOW.
Oh, that's a good symbol for it.
Yeah.
Again, you're still you're in a little bit of sell mode here. That one looks better than CRM, I will tell you that.
Okay. So you, if you have a client that has a bunch, would you sell it if you were diversifying? Is this the point to
sell
it?
And you know what? The way to sell it might very well be if you could write some calls on it.
Right. Okay.
Try to get called away.
All right. And last one, all over the place, low vol, seems like, no rhyme or reason, Restoration Hardware, RH.
The only problem I have with that is you've got an overbought daily now. If that rolls over and this is in the sort of resistance that there is on this from, say, wait a second. From say 442 to 414. 414 is your support. 442 to 450 is resistance. Failure to get through that area would be a concern.
Okay. Great. Thanks a bunch.
Good enough.
Hey, Fred, it's Rob. Good morning.
Yeah, Rob, what's up?
You were going to meet with, I can't remember whom, and you were going to bring up PDP. I actually started selling a little bit of it yesterday.
You know, I did talk to some people on that, and this is probably between here and 85 is where I would consider selling that. It should end up being a slight underperformer.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and it did rebalance into the wrong stuff, I think.
Yeah. Looks that way. Thank you.
Yeah.
Fred, Steve, thanks as always. On NVIDIA, NVDA, if you're looking to trim some, what would be your points to do that?
Okay. Now, of course, as soon as I went to do something there, back below, on the upside, 268, and on the downside, much below 252, would target at least 244 and maybe lower.
Okay. And then a couple on the buy side, if there's anything that looked particularly good. Joan, J-O-A-N.
Just thinking of my friend Joan the other day. Yeah, that's right up at resistance, but it's a good chart and it's sort of basing.
Okay.
And it's in discretionary, which I do like. What was your next one? Sorry.
No, it's A-L-L-Y. These all come out of our quant screens. I haven't really done the fundamental work yet. I'm just curious.
I'd rather buy another bank.
Okay. PDCO, Paul, David, Charlie, Oscar.
Unless I can get above 2850, I would stay away. A lot of resistance at 2840.
Okay. HEES.
Uh, again, right at resistance at 42. Failure here would target 40 at least, and above 42 would target 50. Would target say 48. 48 to 52.
So would you buy that one or would you pass?
I'd try to see if I could get that down to 40 and a half. And okay. It's close enough to just buy it. That's government work.
TRTN?
That's actually very viable here.
This one's not from this is from somebody else with MAC.
I'd avoid it.
Yeah.
That big spike right above the resistance at 17 is quite scary. It needs to get back above 1750 before I have any interest.
Okay. JNPR.
I would probably avoid it. It looks like it's going to die in this 35, 36 area.
Yeah. IBKR.
That's a decent looking broker chalk. Raymond James and Morgan Stanley look better, but you can try that and run it up to 81. On a correction, this should pull back to 71, so it has less risk.
Okay, and the last couple, BYD.
You know, I played this before, and I've done extremely well with it. I stopped playing it because, oddly enough, I knew an insider at the company for a while. But that's in discretionary, and discretionary is one of my favorite sectors, so I could buy that right here. The only problem is your risk is 55 if it doesn't work.
Okay. AAP.
And you're right on support here. If you want to try to buy it, go ahead. Buy more at 208, and if it fails at 200, you've got 160 on it.
Okay. And last one, KMX.
Right on support in here, below 105 would be a concern, but you're close enough that if you need to try to buy that, you can. The real problem is if it doesn't get through 120, it could turn around and take gas, but raise your stop to break even at 120 and you're okay.
Okay. Thanks so much, Fred. Really appreciate it.
Steve, always a pleasure. We'll talk soon offline.
Thanks. Bye.
Got it. Other questions? Otherwise, the chiropractor calls, but yeah, let's have your question.
Hey, Fred, back at you real quick. It's Mark. I wanted to ask you about Delta DAL and JetBlue JBLU.
Delta is right at resistance. The travel stocks are doing better. So if you get above 45, you might get this to 50. And JetBlue, you know, they got rated worse than Spirit and Frontier, which are now merging. A surprise to me because that used to be a highly rated airline. I've never flown them, and that's weird because I've flown just about everything. But I would probably do Delta rather than that. And keep your eye on Jets. If Jets doesn't really get through 25, you're going to see some problems with these.
Okay, thank you.
Got it. Other questions?
Fred, a fast one for you. Charlie?
Sure.
Delta, Echo, Victor, CDIV.
That you've got a nice looking chart on, and let's see if we can get that to you've probably got 9.5, 10 on that.
Excellent. That's kind of what
and
I'm.
By the way, notice one thing which we talked about in the weekly a couple of weeks ago. Russia is starting to trade really, really well. RSX.
Right. I looked at that.
But that means the concern over Russia may be overblown, even if they invade Ukraine.
Right.
won't draw us into a war.
It's moving up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not in a hurry.
Thanks,
otherwise, it would be Russian. Sorry.
All right, you've gotten it in for the call.
So be it. So be it. Anyway, other questions? Otherwise, I need to go. That was really bad, so be it. I'm really proud of that one, actually. I got to call Amy and tell her I did that one. Other questions? Very well, going once, going twice. This will end the Fed Report technical market call for February 10th, 2022. Everybody, I hope your Super Bowl team wins. Thank you.